I'm eating Rice Krispies when my mother asks me whether I'd like to go to church camp. She pours cornflakes for my little sister and douses them with milk. It's March, and snow is piled on the windowsill. Frost has tooled lace on the glass. When? I ask. Next summer. Next summer seems like an eternity away. First comes Easter, then my birthday in May, then summer. My brother is swinging his legs under the table. He kicks me accidentally, and I kick him back. So he kicks me on purpose, and I kick him back hard. Kids from lots of different churches will be there. It lasts for a week. My brother pokes me on the shoulder, and I punch him in the arm. Stop it, you two, Mother orders. Then she pulls out a chair and sits down with her bowl of Wheaties. Why don't you think about it for a while? She suggests shrewdly. I had never been separated from my parents overnight, but church camp offered the fabulous and real possibility of life without my brother and sister, and without my parents. No one would force me to pick the peas, or eat my slimy kohlrabi, or dry the ugly dishes, or go to bed while it was still light. 6 whole days of freedom stretched out before me like a veritable midway of circus rides. I could swim whenever I wanted, including after lunch. My reading reveries wouldn't be interrupted by my mother telling me to go outside and get fresh air. I could get by eating nothing but cookies and stay up all night. The Monday I set out for camp, my mother had to leave for work at 7. I was already up and dressed. I sat on my parents' bed, watching her pull on her white nylons and adjust the seams. She powdered her chest above her bra and stepped into her nurse's uniform. My father handed her the lunch he had packed for her, and then we walked behind her to the car. Her nylons made a reassuring whishing sound as she walked. But when she turned around to say goodbye, her face registered inclement weather. She hugged me for several seconds longer than normal, then got into the car and twisted the key in the ignition. The starter motor turned over, but she idled in the driveway, rolled down the window, stuck her head out, and said, "Don't forget your sweater." She backed the car a few feet, then stopped. "Give her a little money," she said to my father. He pulled out his wallet and handed me $2. "You'll be okay," she told me, flicking her head quickly. Then she hastily backed out. I felt delighted that she was going to miss me. It gave me a sense of power.